On November 8, 2009, a climate change conference was held in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States, to bring attention to the quickest and most effective solution to global warming, the organic vegan diet. Titled Humanity's Leap to the Golden Era, Washington, D.C. Climate Change Conference, the event brought together experts of science and health, as well as international ambassadors, media members, and artists. That included Ambassador Bani de Broom of the Republic of the Marshall Islands, Ambassador Jack Cross of the Republic of Suriname, Ambassador Isben Williams of St. Kitts Nevis, Dr. Stephen Schneider, lead scientist of the reports of the Nobel Prize-winning UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Dr. Michael Greger, Director of Public Health and Animal Agriculture for the Humane Society of the USA and author of Bird Flu, A Virus of Our Own Hatching. Dr. Ruby Lathan, Nutrition Policy Manager of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Peter Carter, Director of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. And Dr. Noah Moore, Adjunct Professor of Physics at New York University. Distinguished speakers address such aspects as environment, health, lifestyle, and spirituality. In addition, engaging video messages on the need to address global meat consumption were contributed by esteemed figures including former Indian Environment Minister Maneka Gandhi, former European Parliament member Jens Holm, and leading American nutrition researcher, Dr. T. Colin Campbell. The highlight of the afternoon was an informative question and answer session via video conference with the guest of honor, Supreme Master Ching Hai, who had graciously set aside her busy schedule to discuss the ways that humankind could transition to a brighter era. We now invite you to join us for part 9 of the 10-part rebroadcast of the live video conference with Supreme Master Ching Hai titled Humanity's Leap to the Golden Era, Washington, D.C. Climate Change Conference on November 8, 2009 in Washington, D.C., USA.
Our next questioner is the owner of Paradise Found, LLC, a company that delivers vegan produce to an ever-expanding market in Ohio. Mr. Randall T. Ball has a question he would like to ask Supreme Master Ching Hai.
Welcome, Mr. Ball.
Hello, Supreme Master. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm honored to come. A lot of people don't know this. Cincinnati is known as Porkopolis. We got our start as the pig capital of the Midwest. So my question is really a very important question, I think, one that I've been asking myself for years, and it relates to the political leadership of this country. And to be able to ask you this in Washington, D.C. seems really powerful. So I wanted to press it by saying, you know, I'm almost half a century old. When I was growing up, America was known as the land of the free and the leader of the free world and a beacon of light and to the world. And now we've become the leading consumer. So my question is, you know, the American people have demonstrated their compassion and their power since the beginning in overcoming many forces of evil. So right now, how do we, as citizens of America, the ones that are literally consuming the planet, encourage and support greater nobility in ourselves, in our fellow American citizens, and in our government leaders? Thank you.
Mr. Ball, good question, sir. Thank you for trusting me with such a great responsibility. I admire the American people very much, sir, you know that, for their faith and open-minded, courageous spirit. And right now, the government leaders need our faith and encouragement more. because we really need their leadership to bring about wide-scale change. We must help provide the government with information about the true cost of the animal diet. Sometimes the government are busy putting priority elsewhere, you know, sir?
Yes.
Not that they don't like the change, but maybe they are not completely informed. So we have to inform them, write to them, talk to them, do whatever it takes to inform them, yes. The true cost of the animal diet, not just cost life, it costs billions of US dollars every year just for the meat-related sickness. Not to talk about how it kills our planet. Huh? You can gather and print it, all this information, and send to your political leaders. If you want, you can go to suprememastertv.com/SOS. We have all the information up to date that we have gathered and reliable and ready material collected there for you. I myself have also written and sent letters and information to the secular and religious leaders of the world, hoping they have time to read. I don't send a lot of books, just short, condensed information. If you want, you can inquire the condensed one that I sent to the leaders of the world. And if they want to know more, or if you want to know more, or your people want to know more, can always log on to the www.suprememastertv.com/SOS. That's it. Or just log on to www.suprememastertv.com and ask for any subject you want. And they're all free of charge and ready anytime. And should the leaders take some positive steps, then we should write to thank them also and encourage them, not always criticize and don't thank them when they do the right thing. We should have positive encouragement. You see, we have to encourage them when they do some right things and so they go further in that direction or even better improved. As for the way that meat industry is destroying the environment, our health, and the health and future of our children and the planet, eventually. The numbers, the sheer numbers, should be more than enough to shock any of us into action. Allow me to report to you a few shocking facts from the United States, your country alone. United States alone, yeah? One, waste of land. Now, in the U.S., an area more than 9 times the size of California, 9 times California size, is used either for growing farm animal feed or grazing livestock. It's all about animals, nothing about us. That's about 1 billion acres, or 80% of all agriculture land in the U.S., and about half of all U.S. land being used for meat production. By contrast, less than 3 million acres is used to grow all the vegetables in the country. Imagine that. Number two, waste of water. Half the water in the U.S. is wasted on production of meat. Just for comparison, 100,000 liters of water are needed to produce 1 kilogram of beef, while less than 1% of this amount, or 900 liters only, is required to harvest 1 kilogram of wheat. Number three, waste of food. 90% of all soy, 80% of all corn, and 70% of all grain grown in the United States are fed to fatten livestock. Well, this could feed at least 800 million hungry people, sir. We have hungry people. We have children die every few seconds because we use too much land, too much water, too much food for livestock instead of on humans. Number four, pollution. Livestock produce 130 times as much waste as the human population in the U.S. Can you imagine that? A single pig farm with, say, 500,000 pigs generates more waste yearly than the 1.5 million residents of Manhattan in New York City. In Virginia state, even the poultry farms are producing 1.5 times polluting nitrogen more than all the people living in the same area. We are killing us, ourselves. All this waste is unregulated and untreated, you know. There's no law to regulate this and treat these things. So the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency estimates that agriculture, which is mostly for meat production, contributes to nearly 3/4 of the country's water pollution problem. 3/4 of your country's pollution came from livestock. Now in 1995, one time, 1 acre pig manure lagoon burst in North Carolina. You know, for people who don't know what manure lagoon is, allow myself to explain. It is where they have a dig a big lake, you know, and then they all the manure and the waste, the urine and all that of the pig will go in there. And it looks like a lagoon, so they call it manure lagoon. One time, an 8-acre large such pig manure lagoon burst in North Carolina and spilling 25 million gallons of this poisonous waste, twice the volume of the notorious Exxon Valdez oil spill. We complain about oil spill, but this is even worse. Hundreds of millions of fish in the state's New River were killed instantly due to the nitrates in the waste, with further harmful effects once the contamination reached the ocean. This is just one of many incidents, sir. Not only that, we have the enormous dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, the size of New Jersey, which suffocates all marine life there. And this is overwhelmingly due to the nitrogen runoff from the Midwest, from the animal waste and the fertilizers for the animal feed crops. This waste is toxic. It contains antibiotics, hormones, and pesticides, and 10 to 100 times the concentration of deadly pathogens like E. coli and Salmonella compared to human waste. Number 5, health and economic cost. Meat costs hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars in medical costs alone and economic burdens on families and governments. Not to mention the pain and suffering of the families. Of course, unimaginably great and lifelong. And all the while, we are suffering illness, losing lives, grieving over lost loved ones, family members, losing happiness, losing money due to the animal diet. We are the ones who are paying the industry to continue producing this problem, producing meat, fish, and the like, with our hard-earned tax money that's used to subsidize them. Ironic, huh? The U.S. government could, of course, redirect the billions of dollars now spent on livestock subsidies to help farmers switch to organic vegetable and fruit agriculture. That would be a great help to your country and the health of the Americans. The government could use these powerful tools to spread campaigns about veg alternatives, bans on meat, and laws to help people switch to organic vegan farming and consumption. A global switch to a veg diet could even save the world governments a lot of money, as much as 80% of all the climate mitigation costs of $40 trillion by year 2050. That is, we save $32 trillion in climate mitigation costs, and having a healthy vegan population is a good deal, good business deal, in all positive aspects. There is very good reason for the American government to abolish meat, fish, eggs, and dairy, or the animal product altogether. We must stop animal production now, and at all costs, if we want to keep this planet. I repeat, we must stop animal product right now, and at all costs, if we want to keep this planet. I have always looked to the American people and their great government leaders as one of the best living examples of democracy and freedom, integrity of our world. However, I must tell you truthfully that the meat industry is unbefitting to the greatness of your country and of the great American citizen. Don't you agree, sir?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, great people deserve great things. Great people lead great lifestyle. So we have to do away with the ungreat things, and we have to begin the great things for the great people, great country like America. I pray, sir, that the ones who are aware and want to save the children will do something about it, and fast, to stop this horrendous criminal system that is killing us and destroying our planet. And that we must not allow any longer. Thank you, and God bless your faith in the divine, in your leaders and yourself. God bless America.
Thank you, Supreme Master Ching Hai, for sharing your illuminating wisdom with us.
European Parliament supports reducing meat to lower greenhouse gases.
Call vote. Vote is now open.
Reduce your meat consumption or stop eating meat totally.
During discussions on greenhouse gas reduction goals, the Climate Committee of the European Parliament officially recognized livestock's contribution to global warming and recommended a reduction of subsidies to the livestock industry to curb methane.
The European Parliament has adopted its own position on climate change as an institution. And as a vice president, one of the proposals I have made is in line with your own, which is that we should eat far less meat, because that's one of the major sources of greenhouse gases.
Tout le monde sait bien, si on veut rendre notre planète soutenable, il va falloir réduire notre consommation de viande, ça on le sait bien.
My name is Jens Holm, I'm a member of the European Parliament. Please, be veg, go green, save the planet.
Next, we have Mr. Tom Venom, a clinical body worker and a vegan.
It's so nice to see you, Supreme Master Ching Hai. This is quite an honor. I'm quite intrigued by the idea of this humanity's leap to the golden era, and the idea of a golden era being here on planet Earth. I have a question about it. It seems as time has gone on, we've evolved to a system where we've had to work to provide for our basic survival needs.
Right.
How will this system change as we grow into the new era? Will it be more service-based, where neighbors simply provide for one another out of the kindness of their hearts? Thank you.
That would be great. That would be great, sir. Yes, that'd be great. That would be our dream world. It might happen still. Yes. It's nice to meet you, sir. You are correct. You are correct. There are systems like that that exist with our money, based on what I have seen in more highly developed societies in the universe, such as on other planets. Yes. You see, our planet is not ready yet for this system. It's not the system, this or that. It's the people, the concept of life, the concept of a society have to change first. The people's concept, yes. Once they make a switch to change into a more sociable, more neighborly, you know, more like global family-like, then that kind of exchanging system will automatically come to realization, yes. I have seen in other planets, only the people who are more evolved or the concept has evolved in that direction, more like a community, global community direction, more spiritually, then they would use that exchange system with no money that you mentioned, yes. These planets, they are inhabited by being similar to us, eh? Yes, but they're more beautiful, I'm sorry. Maybe because they're more relaxed, yes. And they are more vegetarian, you know, relaxed, happy, and light conscience, yes. So many of these civilizations are much more advanced than we are, even spiritually, even technology, mainly because they have developed morally and spiritually to a higher level than ours. As a result, they do everything in a more effective and peaceful way. In our world, we have to earn a living because of the need for physical survival. So we even feel bored at work in many cases. Many people, they work, but they don't love their job. They're not interested. Because they feel forced to do the job just to earn the money. Yeah? Often, because of that, we are forced into some job that we don't even like or not interested. Are not even capable to do. So often our precious talents and gift, natural gift, time and freedom are all lost in the office or in the factory, or at best put on hold for many, many decades until we retired. And then we're tired to even realize our dream anymore. Or we are too sick for the whole lifelong of service and being poisoned by being misled into eating meat, cigarette or whatever, yes. So when we retired, we're really tired. So all our talents, ability, energy are lost just for maybe a few dollars an hour. And we are the children of God, eh? And we have talents. Many people who have talents, ability, bury their life into some other mundane, laborious job until they die, unfulfilled. You know that, yes. It's a pity, yeah. However, in these more developed places in the universe, everyone is secure and has enough, just like your dream world that you have mentioned. They work, but are able to choose which talents and abilities to share and contribute to the society. Because they do that, so they do their best, because they do what they love to. They have choices, see? Instead of working for money, they produce for the honor and pleasure of contributing. They bring the fruits of their labor or their talents, like their harvest or their services, to a place where they can exchange them with one another for the goods they need. This could be a goal that our world could look forward to. Eh? These people in those societies, they can enjoy a lot of time for their leisure and developing their hobbies and their talents, etc., etc., and discover their dormant capabilities as well. So therefore, in such societies, there are many wonderful inventions has been born. And many wonderful things happen because people are relaxing and do what they do best. No one ever worries about lacking physical necessities, so their lives are full of freedom and happiness. Doesn't that sound wonderful, sir?
Yes.
Sound wonderful to anybody? At least we can dream on, huh? Dream on. Because American people say, you got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how would you have a dream come true? Right? So right now we dream that our planet first be saved by a vegan diet. And then we can dream of this dream world in which everyone exercises their talents and their love for their work and creativity, instead of working hard, backbroken just for money. Yes. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have this kind of free and happy society, eh?
Yeah.
Well, if I might add, all such societies are also vegan, I told you. Huh? The concept of life is very clear, very selfless, unconditional. Very intelligent. I have not seen a single civilization so advanced and happy, joyful, that is not a vegan society. According to precedent, nonviolence is, in fact, vegan, a requirement for advancing to the next levels of civilization. In those societies, they only take what they need, and their needs are so few. Because once we change our concept, we live a freer life, our soul less burdened, our hearts more open, our mind is so happy. We need very little in life to feel contented. Yes. Because we are not burdened by guilt of murdering innocent animals. We are not burdened by obligation to earn a living, to pay tax, to pay electricity, to pay whatever, all the basic necessity that should be free for everyone. Now, in those societies, they don't have this burden, so they're free to develop, and they develop so much. And so they're happy. When you're happy, you don't need much. You really don't need much because you're spiritually also fed, emotionally also satisfied. And as you notice yourself, when we are happy emotionally, physically, mentally, we hardly need anything, yeah? Remember, when you fall in love, you hold hand all day, you don't even want to go to eat anything. Lay in bed all day, talking nonsense together, huh? And you're not hungry. You're happy. You feel you don't need anything. You feel you just need that place, you know, that little room, that's enough. Now, the taking of another being's precious life, including the life of an animal, no matter how small, certainly never happens in an intelligent and civilized society, as I have seen it. Members of such a true civilization would never oppress, torture, or murder the weak, defenseless, and innocent animals that have never done anything wrong to them. But on the contrary, treat all life with utmost respect and protection, like they would their own life. Furthermore, they don't take up their planet's resources needlessly to try to breed and raise animals for the pleasure of their fleeting enjoyment of the palate. They are frugal and sensible. Perhaps we can someday join the ranks of the highly developed planets. Maybe we can even learn from them and exchange goods with them. There is much we could look forward to on our own planet and beyond. But first we have to save it by being vegan. That's the only solution right now. We don't have time for anything else. Thank you, Mr. Goodhart, for being with us. And for doing your part. God bless you.
We are so grateful for your fascinating vision and elevating wisdom, Supreme Master Qinghai.
Vegetarianism in Religion.
the Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. Selections from the Baha'i Writings of Some Aspects of Health and Healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra. Also, after the birth of the baby, care must be exercised not to kill any animal in order to feed the mother with meaty delicacies, and not to assemble many relatives to drink liquor or to eat meat, because at the difficult time of birth, there are innumerable evil demons, monsters, and goblins who want to consume the smelly blood. By ignorantly and adversely resorting to the killing of animals for consumption, they bring down curses upon themselves, which are detrimental to both the mother and the baby. Kasitigarbha Sutra. Be careful during the days immediately after someone's death, not killing or destroying, or creating evil karma by worshipping or offering sacrifice to demons and deities. Because such killing and slaughtering committed, or such worship performed, or such sacrifice offered, would not have even an iota of force to benefit the dead, but would entwine even more sinful karma into previous karma, making it even deeper and more serious. Thus, delay his rebirth to a good state. Karma means retribution. Kasitigarbha Sutra.
Gaudai. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the Saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood, and if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adalila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata Anu.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been specially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutrakatanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh, and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts, and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds and nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism. The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure, the supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants, I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
Everybody knows that vegetarian diet is good for health and to save the planet. They will be awakening their own great, compassionate, loving self nature, and then their level of consciousness will rise up automatically, and they will understand more than they ever did, and they'll be closer to heaven than what they are right now.
Next, we have a question from Mr. Steve Ma, the founder, president, and CEO of the organization Live Green, and he also is a devoted vegan. The letters GEO stand for Green Executive Officer.
Oh, yeah? GEO, not CEO, huh? Wonderful.
Hello, Supreme Master.
Hello, GEO. Good invention. Yeah, that's a new word.
One of the things that we do as an organization is encourage people to go to green businesses and support the business owners who are doing it right. So first, I'd like to invite you to come to D.C., and we will go out to a nice vegan meal together.
Wow.
At one of the restaurants.
Be my honor, God's willing. Thank you.
One of the things we really like to do is point out people who are doing it right, people who are succeeding and helping us live a more sustainable way. And thankfully, there are many recent examples of people, communities coming together to live a more sustainable way. And for instance, right here in D.C., Ms. Michelle Obama has created an organic community garden, a vegetable garden.
Right.
And school children from nearby schools come by to help maintain that garden.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So I want to know from you specific examples of things that we can do together as communities to really bring about a sustainable planet.
Huh. Good question. Good question. Yeah. Bravo to America's First Lady, Michelle Obama. She is my First Lady. Wonderful. That is the true First Lady, huh? Mm. She has taken the lead by example. You know, in our old system of kings and queens in China and Vietnam, we call the queen mother of the nation. So, Mrs. Michelle Obama is worth to be called that. She has taken the lead by example. She even said that her family feels more energetic and healthier from eating the organic vegetable, local grown. Imagine if every neighborhood in the United States had an organic veggie garden like that. Huh? Now for sharing fresh, healthy vegetables with everyone. There are reports about organic vegetable farming that it is quite profitable. And the demand for organic vegan foods now is growing faster and faster around the world. So one thing we can do is encourage more organic vegan farmers market. Farmers markets are more and more popular in the United States now because it's fresh, it's quality, and it's local. So there is less transportation pollution. But interestingly, studies show that eating locally is not as good as eating veganly. For example, scientists at Carnegie Mellon University calculated that a vegan diet reduced over 7 times the emissions compared to a 100% local meat diet. So, see? Eat vegan is better than eat local, even local meat. In Spanish, local means crazy. We don't eat local meat. Now, in another study, Food Watch in Germany found that switching from a meat diet to an organic meat diet saved only 8% of emissions. But switching to a non-organic vegan diet, even non-organic vegan diet, reduced 86% of emissions. Huh? So we save the planet by being vegan, even non-organic. So actually, organic is good. Local is wonderful. But the first step is at least being vegan, organic or not. Organic, of course, is the best. Because when we plan all the tillable acres on our planet organically, then the CO2, the carbon dioxide, which exists already in our atmosphere, will be absorbed 40%. And the other 60% we take care of by being vegan. Then we're happy. Our planet definitely survive. Now, the vegan lifestyle is the greenest lifestyle. Right or not? Thank you. Thank you. Good children of God. Because even organic meat is actually not eco-friendly at all. It requires even more land and more energy than the non-organic meat in meat farming. Can you believe it? So it doesn't even help to try to raise animals organically. The so-called sustainable free-range organic poultry, for example, need 20% more energy and have a 20% higher, bigger impact on global warming than non-organic poultry farm. Think about that. So we've been misled all the time. This is a terrible thing about this negative power in this world. It makes us believe things that is not good for us at all. From now on, we have to try to do research and believe only what good for us. And we have to research until we really find that this news, this information is truly reliable and believable. By example, by proof. Otherwise, just don't listen to anything anybody else say if they don't prove it. Similarly, organic eggs were found to have 14% higher carbon footprint than non-organic eggs. So there we are. And even though you don't use fertilizers, the benefit could be canceled out because of the increased land use. Therefore, only the vegan lifestyle is truly sustainable. Now, once we become vegan and urge others to join through grassroots seminars, flyers distribution, letters, email, whatever, we could practice sustainability in other ways. As I have suggested before, we could plant organic vegetables and trees. Better still are those fruit trees and nut trees and those vegetables or legumes like beans and stuff that need little water. That we can do research to know which one needs less water, because right now we're short of water as well. We're short of everything right now. So we should be frugal, not to waste precious energy and water. Use our own shopping bags even. We encourage sustainable energy development, and we can write or talk to the government and the media and the farmers even, because we really do need all the help from the government, from the media, to accelerate the trend. Another good way to quicken our movement to a sustainable planet is to generate more positive energy. Do good deeds and be loving and kind. Expand our loving quality. This is what will create a shield, invincible, to protect us and the planet. Finally, we can pray that divine power manifests on earth to awaken leaders, the media, the influential people, and all the world citizens to take the right steps to preserve our planet, and fast before it's too late. Because at this point, we do need heaven's intervention to save our planet. Not to pray to them to protect us, just to pray so that they awaken everybody to the solution of vegan diet. Because that is the solution that will save our planet. If we can do these things, starting with being veg, we would realize not just a sustainable planet, but a real paradise of peace in our lifetime. Thank you. And heaven bless you for being a vegetarian. A handsome vegetarian.
Thank you, Supreme Master Xinghai, for sharing your most wonderful and insightful answers to these thought-provoking questions.
Thank you.
fate brought me here today, because I think I learned some things here that convinced me to change some of the ways I live, and hopefully be able to spread some of that word to change some of the ways some other people live that are close to me. Well, I'm certainly going to consider my diet. I can probably cut back the meat. I can probably get rid of certainly the red meat. It's the idea of compassion and a whole different view of my impact on the earth and the planet. Listening to the Supreme Master and the sense of compassion and love that emanates from her is just wonderful. So it was inspiring. It was like going to church today.
So what made the biggest impact on you while you were here then?
Actually, it was the presentation by the last speaker, Supreme Master Ching Hai, one of the most godly, a woman full of wisdom, and her ambiance of spirituality, very deep. And she has a worldview, not just from the country that she represents, but a worldview in helping the world.
So do you think you'll make any changes based on the things you heard today? Any changes in your life?
Yes, I'm going to change the way I eat. Absolutely.
My name is Lauren Vanderpool. I'm the CEO and founder of Vanderpool Gourmet and Healthy Living Services Incorporated. We're a nonprofit teaching young people and people all around the world how to eat vegetarian and vegan foods and the importance of it and growing your own food as well. So, be veg, go green, and save our planet.
It has been a pleasure to have your gentle company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Join us again on Friday for part 10 of the rebroadcast of the live video conference, Humanity's Leap to the Golden Era, Washington, D.C. Climate Change Conference. Models of Success is up next after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. With heaven's grace, may your life flourish with much joy and loving kindness.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.